You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you the best coverage of all things orange and blue related. I'm your host, Cody Rourke. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the show. I'm an NFL analyst. I cover the Denver Broncos. I cover the National Football League, and I'm also a columnist over at FanSided. It's predominantlyorange.com. I work alongside an amazing group of staff writers over there covering all things Denver Broncos related. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, and we're just a couple hundred, I think 180 something followers away from 10,000 followers on Twitter. So follow me at Cody Rourke NFL. The moment we hit 10,000, we're going to be doing a jersey giveaway for a listener of the Locked On Broncos podcast. We're going to give one lucky listener a jersey of whatever player that they would like, a player and team, you know, and we're going to open it up to obviously the Twitter world as well. So hopefully it's a Broncos fan that wins it, but we're going to be doing a jersey giveaway, player, jersey, team of their choice, and we're going to be doing it here on Twitter once we hit 10,000. If I'm not following you back on Twitter, just let me know. I like to follow everybody. Doesn't matter if you have 2 followers, 3 followers, you know, 1 million followers. Let me know. I'll follow you back. I appreciate everybody that takes their time and interacts every single day at Cody Rourke NFL and at Locked On Broncos. Today's episode of the show, we're going to get into it. Segment number one, we're going to go through our daily Broncos rundown, followed by our Broncos poll of the day. Very, very interesting stuff. Obviously, I think a lot of confidence has been instilled in the Broncos country fan base with the moves that have happened in the last several weeks since the end of the season for the Denver Broncos had occurred. Segments number 2 and 3, we're going to take to Periscope. We're going to do a live Periscope session where we take questions on all Broncos NFL related topics from listeners and viewers of the Locked On Broncos podcast. So very excited about that. Let's dive right into it in our daily Broncos rundown. Yesterday, the Broncos made the hire official. Former Bronco guard Chris Cooper has joined the staff as the assistant O-line coach to Mike Munchak. Chris Cooper returning to the Broncos. And I think if, you know, some of you guys are having a hard time remembering Chris Cooper, he suffered one of the most freakish and just disgusting looking injuries that you could probably imagine or ever see. And he sat there and he took it like a champ. I mean, I go back and I watched that same exact play, and I remember it as it even happened, his just complete ankle being dislocated and turned, and it was just ugly. It was like, it made you sick to your stomach if you were there more so. And you just, it was one of those things where you turn your head, and Chris Cooper sat there and he was talking to his teammates. You know, he was just sitting down there. Trainers are coming over looking at it. He was chatting with teammates. He was kind of just, I don't know, it was almost like it didn't faze him, but he took it like a champ, and it was unbelievable the amount of strength he must have had that, because, you know, I snapped my knee and that was gross. I mean, I almost threw up after I snapped my knee in half. So the crazy thing about playing sports is sometimes adrenaline kicks in. You don't really realize that. But Chris Cooper joining the Broncos staff and the Broncos, these moves that they've made this offseason have given Broncos fans a lot of relief. With the hire of Chris Cooper, he's going to be working with the interior linemen, guard, centers, and Mike Munchak's going to work with the whole, obviously, position unit, the offensive line as a whole. But Chris Cooper's got a very, very important job working with some of those guys. And, you know, it could be a Billy Turner, Elijah Wilkinson, Max Garcia coming off an ACL surgery, Ron Leary. If the Broncos decide to keep him, you know, there's a lot of different options there. Connor McGovern possibly moving back to right guard if and when the Broncos re-sign Matt Paradis, who's due for a contract extension. The Broncos offensive line, I feel, is in very good hands. I thought Sean Kugler and his staff, Chris Strasser, I thought they did a very good job last year coming into this Broncos staff, this Broncos offensive line, which I think everybody, I mean, even still to this day, we had many question marks saying, you know, what is this Broncos offensive line going to look like? I mean, it was interchangeable. It almost appeared set, and then you suffered key injuries to Ron Leary. You suffered an injury to Matt Paradis, and all of a sudden, Connor McGovern goes from right guard to center. You just moved a lot of guys around in different places, and I thought Sean Kugler and staff did a very good job with what they had. I mean, if you go back and you watch the Broncos, yeah, obviously the offensive line had its struggles, but more so, they were more consistent and they were better off than they were in, I think, the last 3 or 4 years. That's a big thing, you know, and in some of those years, the last year, you have Peyton Manning to make up for some of those deficiencies. And during Peyton Manning's 4-year tenure with the Broncos, you have, you know, a guy that can command an entire game. He's essentially a quarterback and a coach on the field at the same time. You can make up for some of those deficiencies you may have at the tackle positions or the guard positions. But overall, you go back and you watch film. This Broncos O-line was much better in 2018. I think most people give them credit for. Garrett Bowles had a lot of holding calls still. He's got to work on that. And I think Mike Munchak is the perfect guy to bring in the perfect amount of knowledge at the position and obviously tenure. And there's a lot of respect for, you know, what Mike Munchak has done. The Steelers offensive line, he transformed them. When he was with the Titans, he transformed their offensive line as well. They had a 2,000-yard rusher in Chris Johnson, if people don't remember. And that's all set up by the offensive line. Chris Johnson's a phenomenal player, but guess what? You have to have an offensive line to run the ball. And we saw the Broncos run the ball pretty dang well last year. And that's really just an acquit to this offensive line that got tougher. And I think that's something that I think people have to kind of take into consideration going forward is under Mike Munchak and maybe now Chris Cooper, the Broncos offensive line has some revitalized life to them that I'm excited for. Obviously, we have to see the on-field results carry over, but you know that's what training camp, mini camp, OTAs, preseason is for, and then we're going to see it in the regular season. So the offensive line unit under Mike Munchak, Chris Cooper, it's now fully set. They're still looking for a quarterback coach and some quality control coaches, but other than that, everything is pretty much set for this Broncos team going forward. They got a good nucleus in place. We're going to hear from special teams coordinator Tom McMahon. We're going to hear from D coordinator Ed Donatell. We're going to hear from offensive coordinator Rich Scangarello. We're going to hear from them tomorrow on the episode of the show as they meet with the media in the Broncos conference room as well. We're going to have full coverage of that. But let's get to our Locked On Broncos poll of the day here in segment number one. I asked the question today over at Cody Work NFL. I said, has your confidence changed in the last month with the Broncos front office based on the current moves to the coaching staff? And somebody left a review on Twitter, and if you're listening to this, I want to thank you for this because it's absolutely huge. Studio quality stuff, microphones, that's being fixed. We're going to have a fix. I've got a studio microphone. Cameron's getting a studio microphone. Should be set up for tomorrow's episode of the show when we recap some things. So yes, absolutely. Audio quality is huge. Thank you for that, especially in terms of that. You know, we aim to please, and we're trying to make the experience better. So thank you for the review, as well as the front office. You know, they said that we have to talk about the front office more, some of the mistakes that the front office has made. Absolutely. And I don't think I've talked about it enough, in which I'm glad you brought it up. That's why it really kind of prompted our Locked On Broncos poll of the day in terms of has your confidence changed with the Broncos front office? Now, the results came in, and based on that question, if the confidence has changed in the Broncos front office based on the current moves in the last month, 75% of voters said yes, they're starting to believe, and 25% still said no, we have to see results on the field, and that's absolutely true, absolutely. And so I'm going to spend some time here in the last couple minutes here of this segment talking about the front office. The Broncos front office, make no mistake, and I've said this before, and I don't know if you've heard those episodes, but I've said this before. People call me a John Elway apologist. I'm pretty neutral. I'm in the middle of both. I'd say John Elway is a guy that's always held himself accountable. He's always talked about being accountable. Evidently, as the general manager, he's going to get a lot of the blame. Absolutely. That's his job to put the on-field product together. He's created one of the best offenses in NFL history, the number one offense in NFL history back there in 2013, arguably the best defensive in football in 2015 with what they did in the Super Bowl and that postseason run. Their defense was historic in 2015. He constructed that. Those are great things. What has John Elway missed out on? What has the front office missed out on? I would say it's quarterback. It's drafting a quarterback, a replacement to Peyton Manning. Now, do I necessarily blame John Elway for how things totally went? No, because I don't think anybody really imagined Brock Osweiler just dipping out and taking the money and from Houston and leaving. I mean, that was the contingency plan when Peyton Manning retired, was it was going to be Brock Osweiler. We saw Brock Osweiler in 2015, and absolutely, he stepped in and did a phenomenal job. He did a lot of things that people are like, wow, you know, I'm excited for, you know, when after Peyton Manning retires, the Broncos are still going to have a good guy. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. And that's the National Football League. It's hard to get a quarterback. Now, in this year, especially with the draft coming up, our poll of the day yesterday that we talked about had a lot to do with should the Broncos go quarterback in 2019 or do they wait till 2020? Everyone said he got to go in 2019. You missed out big time on Paxton Lynch. The Paxton Lynch thing was a desperate move. It was a reach. The Broncos front office didn't do a very good job at that, especially when they had Trevor Siemian on the roster. The whole handling of that is you have a first-round pick, but then he can't even beat out a seventh-round draft pick. That became the issue. And there, in that lies some struggle, some power. You want to be right on your draft pick, but at the same time, the Broncos just weren't. It was a bad draft pick. Paxton Lynch was a bad draft pick. He was a bust pick for the Broncos. Now he's with Seattle. He still has a chance, I think, to turn his NFL career around. He's got to put more time in the playbook. The front office has made errors in those moves. Absolutely. And I'd say the front office has held themselves accountable. I mean, everyone wants to talk about as if the front office is just getting away with things and nobody's holding them accountable and so on and so forth. I think we've seen that open honesty, that look in the mirror. I mean, John always said, I've got to look in the mirror. I've got to do better. Joe Ellis has said the same thing. Absolutely. They're, you know, Broncos fans are still trying to get to the point where they can trust John Elway and Joe Ellis in the front office based on some of the moves that have happened. Absolutely. So when we talk about the front office, I think a lot of things have changed. I mean, when you go through a culture shock, we could go through 2 years in a row where you just have losing football. I mean, the Broncos have missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. 9-7, they missed the playoffs under Gary Kubiak's final season 2016. You go 11-21 the next 2 years. That is a change. That is a culture shock to an organization that prior to that, ever since Peyton Manning came into town, there wasn't any idea about what losing was like. It was hard for Broncos fans to really think, wow, we just endured Kyle Orton not too long ago. You know, we had Tim Tebow winning, taking us to the playoffs. Before that, it was Kyle Orton and we were losing. We got, you know, the Broncos country got so used to winning under Peyton Manning that when we went through this whole entire spell of losing, it absolutely just made you lose faith in the front office. Absolutely. I'm not going to deny that. So, you know, I kind of wanted to address that. I've got a lot of confidence right now in the Broncos front office based on these moves. Everybody was talking rebuild. These moves right now don't suggest that rebuild is even a thought. And so obviously I think we all have to take, you know, we all have to agree and come to the same conclusion here. We have to wait until the on-field product, the results speak for themselves. Now are we going to see it immediately this year? I mean, it's possible. I don't know. It's uncertain. I mean, the Broncos could have another losing season this next year. They could have a winning season this next year. We have to see the on-field product. We have to see the changes. I look at culture. I look at what's changed. When Vance Joseph was the head coach, there were all these things going on, and it was bad change. Bad change. Absolutely. It was measurable. Something you can evidently see in the on-field product, culture-wise, you can see it. Now, under Vic Fangio, it's going to be interesting to see what different areas of this organization, how the football team operates, changes in terms of that, and that culture that is going to be created. That's something I like to take a look at. So I appreciate you for the review. Leave a review on iTunes, guys. Tell us what we do to improve your listening experience. What do you love about the show? Tell us why. If it's a 5-star experience, why is it a 5-star experience? And if you leave your Twitter handle in the review, you'll be entered into every single contest giveaway. But coming up here in just a second, segments two and three, we're going to be getting into our live Periscope edition, taking questions from viewers and listeners of Locked On Broncos and the NFL community on Periscope at Cody Rourke NFL. But before we get to that, the Senior Bowl approaching, I got to remind you guys again about John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema over there at Locked On NFL Draft, giving you the best insight and coverage of what's happening at the Senior Bowl. The Senior Bowl kicks off this Saturday. We're going to be tuning in. We're going to be watching some prospects. You know, more than likely, possibly, Drew Locke is the talk of town in Broncos country. We're going to take a look at them. But John and Trevor do such an amazing job. They're of the Draft Network and putting together the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, bringing it to you every single day, even during the offseason. In season, they're always looking ahead, and they provide you with some great coverage. We're jumping into our Locked On Broncos session here on Periscope, where we're listening to NFL community, Locked On Broncos listeners as well. They're giving their feedback, their questions on all things Broncos related. The talk of the day has to do a lot with the front office. We ran the poll of the day earlier where we asked Broncos fans, you know, if they felt comfortable with the direction that the front office is heading, the organization. Has the moves that they've made restored some of your confidence in them? Have you been more encouraged? Some of those things along those lines. So, hey, you know, let's get right into it here with listeners on here on Periscope. If you have any questions, let's start popping them into the feed. I'll be happy to talk about them here in segments two and three of Locked On Broncos. You know, I think, you know, a lot of talk right now with the Senior Bowl going on right now, and then John Elway, Matt Russell being down there and scouting and looking at guys like Drew Locke, Daniel Jones out of Duke, for example, some other good players. I mean, you have wide receiver prospects like Hunter Renfro. There's a lot of guys there, and the Senior Bowl game is this Saturday. For anybody that doesn't know, you could tune in on the NFL Network. We'll be having some coverage of that as well. But, you know, I want to hear from Broncos fans. I want to hear from NFL fans here on Periscope. What are your thoughts on the Broncos' direction in the last month? I mean, if you would have told me a month ago from now, we're in December 23rd, we're, you know, a day before the Broncos play the Raiders on Monday Night Football, how did you feel about the Broncos organization compared to right now, fast forward, January 24th? How do you feel about the Broncos organization today since the offseason changes have happened? Very excited to hear from our listeners as well. So, and I think a lot of the discussion, a lot of people are talking about Vic Fangio being the right hire for the Denver Broncos. A lot of excitement for there. What he's been able to do with the Chicago Bears defense has been phenomenal. He took a defense that was bottom ranked before he came there. He turned them into a number one defense and a top 15 defense his first two seasons there, and then the last couple of seasons the top five defense. And it's been phenomenal to see the product, number one scoring defense in the National Football League. And really, they did it with, you know, you have Khalil Mack as your primary superstar. You have Kyle Fuller as well, who's a prominent young cornerback who, you know, when Fangio first came into the, you know, the Chicago Bears organization, they butted heads a little bit. And we heard about that from Lauren Cox, host of Locked On Bears, because of a knee injury that Kyle was dealing with. And Fangio kind of called him out and said, you know, even if you're hurt, you still got to find a way to play. So I think with Vic Fangio, we saw his press conference. I think we were all excited just based on his answers, his demeanor. A lot of Broncos country said they would like to play for a coach like Coach Fangio. Broncos players love him. A lot of respect from Khalil Mack and some of his former players. I've had nothing but San Francisco 49ers fans and Chicago Bears fans telling me what a great hire this is for the Broncos. Broncos country is very, very accepting right now of Vic Fangio. But the question is, Is it a move that we have to wait and see the on-field product, or are you willing to give it at least 1 to 2 years? Can Vic Fangio turn the Broncos organization around just like that with a snap of a finger in one season coming off of, you know, I'd say the last 2 years of, or the last head coach where you went 11-21 and you didn't win games? I thought the Broncos were more competitive in 2018 outside of a couple of games. But overall, there's just something off about the culture. I mean, the on-field product, the guys just, they'd compete for a quarter, or they wouldn't show up for a quarter. They'd compete late in the game. And you can't fall behind in the National Football League. You lose to teams you should have beat. You beat some teams maybe you probably shouldn't, you know, on paper you shouldn't have beaten. And that's a kind of thing I look at there. So what can Vic Fangio do to come in? And obviously with the new coordinators, offensive coordinator Rich Scangarello, Ed Donatell as defensive coordinator, what can you do to instill a more consistent round of discipline within your players? What's going to motivate them to come out on Sundays and perform and play well? That's obviously something you have to take into consideration. You know, I think when we take a look at the Broncos defense, it was evidently their best area on the field outside of the rushing game. My man Tank says, I think with the coaches we have now, the difference will be night and day in comparison to last. Now, when we take a look also, Tank, thank you for that as well, man. I love your insight. I love your questions as well, man. Hope everything's going well on the other side of the pond. But, you know, I think with the coaching staff last year, there were some good position coaches. I thought Marcus Robertson, I thought Greg Williams, the cornerbacks coach, I thought they did a good job with what they had. I mean, you take a look at cornerback, you had Chris Harris Jr., you had Bradley Roby. Outside of that, Tremaine Brock was injured most of training camp, preseason, into the regular season. You had Pac-Man Jones for a little bit. I thought they did good with the, you know, what they had. And they didn't want to throw Isaac Yiadom into the fire right away. He got some starting reps in the preseason, and it was kind of revealed a little bit. He needs a little bit more time to get some playing time and develop and work on some of these other things. He's a technician. We saw him get thrown into the fire against the Steelers. He did very well. Tank says, Fangio seems tough on discipline. I hope the players toe the line rather than resist. And I think if anything that we've seen here, Tank, I think just so far in the media, and this is going to be different. I mean, what you see in the media, perception in the media-wise compared to being at practice every single day and seeing what happens there, it's going to be a true telling difference. But players have so much respect around the National Football League for Vic Fangio. And John Gruden was talking with Andrew Mason, Steve Atwater, and Ryan Edwards over there at Orange and Blue 760 yesterday about the hiring of Vic Fangio and having Ed Donatell as the secondary coach. That's been a huge thing. Let's see here. Vinny2 says, get rid of Case Keenum, trade for Dwayne Haskins. More than likely, Dwayne Haskins is the first quarterback off the board. More than likely to New York or possibly Jacksonville, depending on what those two teams do in the NFL free agency. Let's see here. ATL Jones, 1974. Quarterback is definitely a high priority, but, so I'm waiting for that last part there. But yeah, quarterback's a huge priority. You don't have anybody right now. I talked about it on yesterday's episode of Locked On Broncos. Case Keenum doesn't have anybody behind him right now pushing him for competition. Now think about it this way, and this was the storyline all year while he was still on the roster. Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly was the one guy that Broncos fans were calling for every week when Case Keenum was struggling. And the moment Case Keenum was off the field for one play, I think being evaluated for a concussion. It was one play right before halftime. Chad Kelly runs out to go take a knee, and the stadium just erupts. The last time we saw that kind of eruption in a stadium in terms of quarterbacks was when Peyton Manning came into the second half of the Broncos game against the Chargers, Week 17, 2015, when they were getting ready to, you know, they're playing the Chargers to go on and maybe secure the number one seed. If they lost, the Broncos also had a chance sitting as the one seed to not even be in the playoffs that year. So in 2015, I feel as if that momentum change happened with Peyton Manning when Brock Osweiler didn't have things going in that first half. Peyton Manning comes in, eruption. Broncos fans are going crazy. Leads the comeback against the Chargers, and guess what? We have a storybook ending. You go into the playoffs the next week, you get a first-round bye, and then you go into the playoffs against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you beat Ben Roethlisberger, and at that point, you go on to face Tom Brady, AFC Championship. But Case stopped throwing interceptions after Chad's release. And that was an interesting thing, too. Absolutely. I'm glad that you mentioned that. He got much better protecting the ball. So is it the fact that having competition, and this is through the psychology of an athlete. I mean, I have no idea. But having competition behind you, it almost makes you, it's like walking on eggshells. For some athletes, they love competition. Competition brings out the best in them. They perform well because they prove that, look, this person behind me is not going to push me. I know that they're there. I know that they're waiting for my downfall. I know that one mistake and I could possibly lose my job to this guy. So they play better. Then you have the athlete that when they have competition, they just play worse. So I think it really goes into the psychology of things. It's crazy. I'm glad that you brought that point up because that is super important to take into consideration. Because Case Keenum, when he had Chad Kelly behind him, was playing. He wasn't playing very good football. Fans were calling for him. Fans were like, "We know we need a change of quarterback." When Chad Kelly got released, and that's due to his own fault and some of his own mistakes that he made. What happened after that, Case Keenum started playing better. Now, the one thing and the one knock I had on Case Keenum the rest of the season was the fact that I don't believe he took enough shots down the field. And that was kind of the thing to me that I was like, as a quarterback, you have Cortland Sutton, you have Deshaun Hamilton, you have some tight ends, you have Matt Lacoste, for example. Heck, the times you did take shots downfield, you throw a jump ball to Cortland Sutton, he's going to come up with it. But other times we saw Case Keenum go downfield, it's been to your fullback, Andy Janovich. Andy Janovich this season has multiple catches of 20-plus yards. I think it's two catches of 20-plus yards. Tank says, do you think we are likely to see a change of quarterback this offseason? I don't think so. I absolutely don't think so. Not yet. I think the Broncos draft quarterback, and then they'll go there. Somebody says, does it matter who's quarterback if you can't protect the quarterback? O-line should be the first pick. And I talked about this in segment number one of the show. This was in segment number one, our daily rundown, when we talked about the hiring of Mike Munchak as the offensive line coach and Chris Cooper as an assistant O-line coach working with the interior linemen. And the Broncos offensive line in 2018 was much better than what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years. Miles. And if that wasn't the case, you wouldn't have had a 1,000-yard rusher and a 500-yard rusher in Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay. Phillip Lindsay rushing for 1,000 yards, Royce Freeman rushing for 500. And I talked about it yesterday. I feel as if Royce Freeman, if he didn't get hurt, that high ankle sprain, the Broncos could have had two 1,000-yard rushers in 2018. That O-line was much better than what anything we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years for Denver. I'm fully convinced of that. Go back and watch the film. Now, you want to know who a major centerpiece of that was? I honestly believe that Connor McGovern made a big difference at guard. Absolutely. One of the best guards. And really, going into that Baltimore game, don't know why he was benched. But him and Matt Paradise were the anchors. Discussing O-line problems is Bowles' problem technique. I think Bowles' problem in terms of the offensive line has to do with technique. I mean, Mark Schlereth, you know, one of the nasty, you know, stink, one of the most gritty offensive linemen in Broncos history. He talked about it openly. I mean, he's been very open about it. Matt McChesney, he talked about it openly. And also Tyler Palumbus has touched base on it. A lot of it is with Garrett Bowles' technique. It is absolutely technique. You could see it with his kick step, and I wish I could demonstrate here, but nobody could see it really on the podcast without me getting away from the microphone. But his kick step, he does this thing where he gives the inside away right away to the defensive lineman, sometimes the DN, outside linebacker, whoever it may be, depending on a 3-4 scheme or a 4-3 scheme. We would see Garrett Bowles give the inside. The D lineman would take that inside, and all of a sudden, Garrett Bowles would have to wrap around in order just to stop that guy. And that there's a holding flag. I mean, holding flags, it's got to be discipline. And Mike Munchak, I think, can be a great coach for a guy like Garrett Bowles. Now, if Garrett Bowles' struggles continue despite having Mike Munchak on your staff, maybe the Broncos have to look at some other options. But Garrett Bowles, in my honest opinion, I think he had an okay year. I think he had an average year. I think the penalties, those things, discipline issues in terms of holding and maybe false starts, those things have to change. Those things are coachable. Those things are fixable due to coaching. So I think the offensive line, I think it'll be okay. I honestly do. I think the Broncos are going to go in there, but and maybe get an O-line at some point, but it's not going to be first round. Let's see here. It says, Jason says, do you think the Senior Bowl will push Drew Lock out of reach to the 10th spot and see Elway make a move? There's a lot of talk about that right now because Drew Lock, he does have some things about him that are standing out in the media. Granted, how... not why they're about liking him. The Broncos like him. I mean, the Broncos have scouted him in person. He's got some tools and some intangibles that the Broncos have really fallen in love with. I mean, he conducts himself well, completely professional. If you guys have seen his interviews, there's a lot of good things on Drew Lock there. And he's got some of these tools. I think the touch that he has on his passes and the short to intermediate routes can be good. Consistency is obviously the biggest key. Those things are coachable. Those things are teachable. Footwork is the biggest issue, in my honest opinion, when I look at Drew Lock and on his film. He even came out in media day and mentioned that, you know, he learned a new system under David Dooley at the University of Missouri. He came out and he had to learn to get his footwork right. And he did. He improved on that mid-year. He played better. He trended upwards. So I think if he plays really, really well in the Senior Bowl here on Saturday, NFL Network, I honestly believe that he can prove to some teams that he may go before 10. I think Dwayne Haskins is the first quarterback off the board, but I think that Drew Lock can also prove that in this quarterback class that he can be a QB1 guy. And I think you're going to see teams like the New York Giants, for example, the Jacksonville Jaguars. If these teams don't address their need for a quarterback through free agency, which I think the Jaguars will probably go the free agency route in terms of finding the next quarterback. You could see a Teddy Bridgewater, so on and so forth, some of these guys. But I think that Dwayne Haskins is the first guy off the board. He could be going to New York, the Giants, absolutely. And I think that the Broncos, if they get a sense that one of these teams, if they really want Drew Lock, if they think a team ahead of them is going to get in, I wouldn't be surprised if they move up. You could see them potentially make a deal with the San Francisco 49ers to move up to spot number 2, possibly. I mean, that's a realistic possibility here. We talked about it with Locked On 49ers host Brian Peacock. The Broncos and the 49ers have a good relationship. They really, really do. They've exchanged that. So there is a possibility there that they could trade spaces if the fact that the Broncos need to move up to get a guy like Drew Lock, if they absolutely believe that he's going to be gone before they even get to pick him at 10. So that's kind of like the real brunt of the talk here. We're running here on time. The end of the Lockdown Broncos Periscope broadcast. We'll be doing another Periscope every single week here, talking with listeners around the NFL community, Broncos fans, listeners of Lockdown Broncos. But I want to, you know, remind you guys, head over to iTunes right now. Once again, leave a review of the show. Leave your Twitter handle. You'll be entered into a contest giveaway. We look for ways to improve your listening experience at Locked On Broncos. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. If I'm not following you, let me know and I'll follow you. I'll be happy to do that. But once again, I just appreciate the consistent discussion that we have over here with Broncos country, the NFL community, talking all things Broncos related, NFL related. Appreciate you guys once again. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. We're going to hear from the coordinators, Tom McMahon, Rich Scangarello. We're going to hear from Ed Donatell as they meet with the media in tomorrow's session of Locked On Broncos. That'll air on Friday. Once again, appreciate you guys tuning in. Absolutely. We'll see you then. Another episode of the show. Can't wait.